Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 tell us to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Let's read the passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now the passage goes on to say in verses 4 and 5, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, we are people who are very earthly minded. And the reason is we have a lot of things to do. You have a job, and so you're minded about all the details that you have to take care of there. You got a home or a place to live, and you've got to keep it clean. You have laundry, you wear clothes, you've got food, you have to cook it. You have children, perhaps, and you're concerned about their needs. You have banking to take care of and bills to pay and automobiles to maintain or fix. You got a lot going on, and it's very, very difficult for us to keep our affection on things above when we have our mind on so many of the things that are here in the earth. And so while the Bible says set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, and I realize that when you're maintaining cars and maintaining homes and cooking foods, you're not really loving those things, but what's happened is your mind has become so consumed with them that it's hard to really take time to love the Lord above. So we've been instructed to do it, but you know, the real question that comes up is how can I set my affection on things above? And that's what we're going to talk about today. How can I do it? I want to do it. I love the Lord, don't you? And I want my affection set on things above. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. The question is, how? How can we do it? And I've got seven things that are found in the Scripture that I believe will help you to set your affection on things above. Number one. And I'm just going to, this is not an outline that's profound. It's very simple. Perhaps it helps me to keep my thoughts organized. More than it will help you. But here, first of all, you set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, by living. By living. You say, what do you mean? Look again at verse 4 in Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, watch it, who is our life? Christ, who is our life? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul explains to the Philippians in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So I say the first way to set your affection on things above is by living. Living what? Living your eternal life. You see, all those things that I mentioned just a minute ago, maintaining the house, maintaining the cars, working your job, taking care of the kids, doing the laundry, cooking, all of those things are your temporal life. But we need to live our eternal life. Do you understand? When I first got saved, somebody said, well, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go to heaven when you die. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't go to hell when you die. And it gives you the idea that eternal life is something that starts when this life ends. You think, okay, I'll go to heaven when I die. And so in the meantime, I got to keep on living. But you know, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So today, if you're saved, you are the recipient, the possessor of Jesus Christ. All right? Because he's the gift. And Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Christ is our life. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. Do you realize you and I are the current possessors of everlasting life? We are the current possessors of eternal life. I am living eternal life right now. And so Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. In other words, our body's going to drop. We're going to go right on into eternity and never skip a beat. No pause whatsoever. And most of us don't live Christ. We don't live our eternal life. We're consumed with the things down here. Now, one of the things that will help you to be able to live Christ is to also mortify something else. In Colossians 3, verse 4, he said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he names them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I die daily. So you know what this process of living eternal life is? It's dying to the things of the world and living to the things of God. And a lot of us don't do that consciously. But if you want to set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, then the thing to do is to live your eternal life, to live Christ now, and to mortify your members that are on the earth. To let some things die now and start living those other things now. Living it. That's how you set your affection on things above. Living Christ. Now that's a pretty profound thought, so you'll have to let that one sink in, but since we have six more, I'll keep going. And you can digest that one as you meditate on those scriptures. So how do we set our affection on things above? First of all, by living Christ and mortifying our own members. Secondly, by filling. You know, we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, right? So turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, look with me in verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All right, so the Holy Spirit then, when he comes in our lives, he guides us into all truth. Romans chapter 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So by filling, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So that's what you and I are supposed to do. But really and truly, most of us don't live most of our life filled with the Spirit of God. There are certainly episodes where we have been filled with the Spirit of God, but most of the time we're filled with other things like anxiety and worry and, you know, thoughts, imaginations, affections of other things. So imagine it this way. Here you are, an empty vessel, filled with the affections that you have for the things on the earth. And now you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so as he takes over and gains more of your vessel and pushes out those affections that you have for other things, you know what happens? You know what happens? You start setting your affection on things above. Because why? Listen, he is guiding you into all truth. Now, truth is in the Scripture, of course. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, the truth of God and the Word of God and Jesus Christ, they're inseparable. They're all the same. and the Holy Spirit is guiding you into the truth. So as he fills you, he's going to guide you into that truth more. And as he guides you into that truth, your affection is going to go above, not on the earth. So he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. How do we do it? By living Christ and by filling with the Spirit of God. Here's another one. You're in John, right? We'll turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You know, I love Christ. I love God. I love the Word of God. I am sure if you're listening to this broadcast, you are exactly like that. We may express our love differently. One may have a greater degree of love than the other, but the truth of the matter is, if somebody asks you, hey, do you love God? You'd say, like Peter, yes. Yes, I do. When Jesus Christ asked Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, you know I love you. The Lord said, then feed my sheep. God gave him something to do. So look in John chapter 14 at verse 21. The Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He goes on to say in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You know, I constantly encourage people to read the Bible. Constantly encourage people to study the Bible. However, you can read it a lot and you can study it a lot. If you don't obey it, it's not going to be effectual. If you don't believe it, it's not going to be effectual. And the Lord here says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You want to set your affection on things above? Then obey the words of God. In other words, when you read the Bible, don't only be looking for knowledge. When you read the Bible, don't only be looking for inspiration. When you read the Bible, look for instruction. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Speak to me. Show me. Because I want to obey you. I want to do your will. The Bible says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. And do you know something? The more you keep what the Lord said, the greater your love. Your affection for him grows. Now, Jesus Christ gave us a very clear commandment in the New Testament. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, see, the Old Testament commandment was, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, then, based on the degree to which you loved yourself, would be the way that you loved your neighbor, max. Now, he says, I want you to love them the way I love them. Well, Jesus Christ's love for others was certainly far greater than even our love for ourselves. Jesus Christ's love for others was so great that he laid down his life. And he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So there's the standard, and it's higher than ours. So what is he saying? He says, here's my commandment. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Well, keep that one. And you know what you find? As you keep that commandment, your love for the Lord grows. Your affection grows for things above. We have some loved ones, you do, and so do I, that have trusted the Lord and loved God, who've died and gone on ahead. They're there in heaven now. You know something? Boy, am I ever looking forward to seeing them. And they're up there with the Lord. You know what happens? Your affection goes above. Every widow and widower I know that lost a loved one who was saved, they are looking for the day when they can be reunited with their mate. You know what it did? It caused them to set their affection on things above. Why? They started being obedient to the word of God and loving somebody else besides themselves. And you know what happens? Your affection goes up. Up. So how do we set our affection on things above? By living Christ, dying to ourselves, by filling with the Spirit of God, by obeying the word of God. Here's the next one, Philippians chapter 4. How do we set our affection on things above? Well, by praying. By praying. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. You know what happens in prayer? We used to sing a song called Sweet Hour of Prayer. I think they need to change it because it's now the Sweet 5 Minutes of Prayer, if that much. Christians don't pray like they used to. And the result is we're beginning to see that it's taking its toll. Because what happens when you come to the Lord with the prayer of, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, you're usually just reviewing the things that are troubling your mind before Him. I say worrying before the Lord. And God wants us to pray well enough and long enough that, hey, we... We are there much longer than just to run down our list. He knows the needs. He wants us to stay there in prayer with thanksgiving long enough so that His peace, the peace that passeth understanding, can keep our hearts and keep our minds through Christ Jesus. Well, you understand that if His peace is keeping your heart and His peace is keeping your mind, you know what that's going to do to your affection? It's going to turn it up, not down. You see, when you come to the Lord with your problems, you have been, as a man said, gazing at your problems. You go in prayer and you glance at the Savior and say, oh God, look at this horrible situation with my kids, and look at this horrible situation with my life, and look at this horrible situation with my marriage, and look at this horrible situation with my job, and look at this horrible situation with my car. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no peace of God in that. And your mind is now more centered on those things than before because you've taken it all before the throne of grace and talked to God about it. But when you go before the Lord and you humble yourself and you begin to praise the Lord and you're thanking the Lord and you say, Lord, I need help with this car, and you stay there in prayer and you're staying there in thanksgiving, there's a peace that comes over you and settles you down. And you know what it is? Hey, you've cast that care upon the Lord and He says, don't worry about it. I've got it. Now, when the fretting over all those things I just mentioned is gone, guess who's preeminent? The Lord is. As the friend said, who said you've been gazing at your problems and glancing at the Savior, he said what you need to do is you need to gaze at the Savior and glance at your problem. And it's prayer over an extended period of time that causes you to transfer the concerns that you had from those things of the earth to those things of heaven. When the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps your heart and your mind, your heart and mind are changed, and your affection are things above. So how do you set your affection on things above? By living Christ, which involves mortifying your members on earth, by the filling of the Spirit of God, by obeying His words, not just reading them, by praying until the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps your heart and your mind. And then here's the next one. By serving. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. By serving. Matthew chapter 6. This is an interesting thing. I've never really read this passage of Scripture until recently in the context of what we're talking about today. But in Matthew chapter 6, he says this. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and, what's the next word, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, if you serve the Lord in singleness of heart, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love Him. You're going to love Him because that's what He said. You'll either hate the one and love the other. All right, if you're not distracted by any other thing that you're serving than the Lord, you're going to love Him. You're going to love Him. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says to us in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Watch it. In singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Oh, that's it. You want to set your affection on things above? Serve Christ. I know you have an employer. You may not even like him, but you go to the job because it's paying your bills. I know you got an employer. But you know what you need to do? You need to quit worrying about serving him satisfactorily enough to keep your job or her. You know what you need to do? You need to go there in singleness of heart serving Christ. It will absolutely change your life and your thoughts about the job you do. Because now listen, the Jews were servants to Pharaoh. Joseph was servant to Potiphar. Joseph was servant to Pharaoh. Hey, Daniel was servant to Nebuchadnezzar. But those men were serving the Lord. And as a result, their affection was on things above. So when you go to your job the next day that you go with the idea, Christ, I am here to serve you. You are my master, and I'm going to put in my day for your sake in singleness of mind. And I'm going to serve you from my heart. You'll know what it'll do. You'll quit worrying about the petty things going on at your job, first of all, so it'll take your mind off the things on the earth, and it will increase your affection for things above. Absolutely. That's what he said. If you serve him, you'll love him. Sixth thing. How in the world can I set my affection on things above? Sixth thing. By giving. Living, filling, obeying, praying, serving. Six. Giving. By giving. Matthew chapter 6, that's where you are. Look in verse 19, 20 and 21. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he says giving is good for your heart. Put your heart into your giving. When your treasure is above, your heart's going to be above. Easy enough. Just take a look. People, they ask me all the time, because I was in the banking business, what should I do with my money? I say, well, you know, you can invest this way and that way. But I said, you ought to give a lot of money to the Lord. And they said, why? Well, for one thing, it'll increase your affection for him. Absolutely. God loveth the cheerful giver. It'll increase his affection for you, and it'll increase your affection for him. I'm telling you, boy, I mean it. You want to set your affection on things above? Invest above. That's right. That's right. Oh, so many people give today, you know, church building project, and then they want to be the preacher's pet and all that other kind of craziness. I'm thankful I've never had to contend with that. Very, very thankful. The idea is that when we put it in the Lord's hands, it gets into his hands, and he does with it whatever he wants to do. We have seen gobs and gobs of money go out of this church into the mission field, and therefore into souls and the sowing of the seed of the Word of God and into the ministry of the saints. It's an amazing thing God has done with all of that. No telling. We'll have to wait till eternity, but I'm telling you, the more you see it going out and going into the hands of the Lord and going up, you just look up there and you think, wow, what is God doing with all of that? Giving will change your heart. There are people today that are still struggling with whether they ought to tithe and whether 2% or 3% is enough. Listen, you are not even on the playing field. You're barely in the stands. You're hanging around the concessions. You're not even in the game. Not even in the game. You need to get with God and allow him to give you some courage to step out there by faith and really get giving. We don't need your money. I'm not even asking you. You know, we're not a quote-unquote listener-supported broadcast. This is a ministry of a church. There are listeners that have given, and we're very thankful for them. We never solicit anything from them, and we're not soliciting from you. Don't get one idea that I'm asking you for a dime, because we're not. But we're telling you, between you and the Lord and your local church, you ought to be a very, very faithful giver. You ought to go giving way beyond your tithe. You say, man, I can't even afford the tithe. You don't know that. And the reason is your affection's not above. I've seen people who don't tithe and their finances are a wreck, some of them. I've also seen people who don't have the finances to tithe and they do it and God blesses that. And now they're even giving above the tithe and doing stuff for missions. You know what's happened? Their affection is above their loving God. Last thing, how can I set my affection on things above? Well, living, filling, obeying, praying, serving, giving, and then finally, looking. Looking. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to look up. Do you know Jesus Christ is coming back? He is. You say, when? I haven't the slightest idea. I had a preacher friend of mine that preached. He said, if our calendars are right, obviously they weren't. Based upon my understanding of the Bible, he ought to be here in 1989. Well, he didn't show up in 1989. He didn't show up in 1990. He didn't show up in 1991. And all these other date people that have guessed and all that, he didn't show up at 2000 or any of those times either. So I have been diligently looking for the Lord for at least 27 years. Diligently. He hadn't come back. You know what? He could come back today. I'm still looking for him. I get excited about seeing my Savior. And you know what it does? Because I'm looking for the Savior to come back. People say, well, aren't you scared about terrorism and all these horrible, wicked things that are going on around the world? Not even in the least. Why? The Bible told me they're going to happen. I'm not looking at those things. I'm looking up. Looking up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see what's happened? There are so many distractions in the earth now with social networking and with television and with internet and with literature and all that other stuff and with all the stuff that's scaring you and all that stuff going on. There's so much distraction here in the earth right now. People are looking at all these things and they're getting scared. And you ought to be able to, you ought to be looking up. Why? Because Jesus said, therefore be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I realize that has to do with his actual second coming. But you know what? It surely applies spiritually well to us. He's going to come when you're not looking for him. He's going to come when you're not thinking about him. Unless you're looking up. And the more you look up, the more your affections are set above. So we'll summarize one more time. How do you set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth? By living Christ, and therefore mortifying your members on earth. By filling with the Spirit of God, by obeying the Word of God, not just reading it, but doing what He shows you to do, by praying until the peace of God that passeth understanding will keep your heart and your mind, by serving Christ all day long, every day, by giving where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, and by looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? If you'll do those seven things, your affections will be set on things above and not on things on the earth. May God bless you. May God bless you as you love Jesus Christ more than you ever have before. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.